The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Monday. The Monday blues. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be the Tuesday blues, the Wednesday blues, the Thursday blues. Probably going to be all week. Lots of rain, unfortunately. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe. In studio, Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He joins us every Monday at this time at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how you doing?
Other than the weather, I'm good. Hope you guys are too. You know, when I was younger, I used to scoff at people. I used to comment and wonder, like, why is everyone commenting about the weather all the time?
I'm just with you, Vince. Yep,
it's going to change. And now we're like that ourselves.
No doubt. I am 100% in agreements with you. I did the same thing. Yeah. But, you know, as adults, we also plan. It's like yesterday. We planned because of the weather, because, you know, we felt like we were going to finally get a break. It was beautiful here yesterday, and so we took advantage of that. And we got out on the baseball field and did that, and then – you know, it's right back inside the house. But, you know, we just pay close attention to it as adults, try to get stuff done. But you're right. I am in that boat with you. I did the same thing. Like, oh, stop always talking about the weather. We'll just deal with it as we wake up and see what kind of day it's going to be. And then you realize, yeah, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, I think we've all gotten softer as the years have gone on. I think that's part of it.
Well, yeah, usually as adults we get softer. That's why I'm going to tell people they need to get gym memberships so we can get a little bit tougher. We get softer as we get older. Vince, I got to be honest. I was surprised at how soft, segue, Tennessee looked on Saturday against Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky led wire to wire. That's just not what I expected in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee has had as much success against Kentucky and Thompson Bowling Arena as anyone.
In fact, Barnes had not lost to them in Knoxville, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And if they would have won, it would have been, I think, the first three-game winning streak against Kentucky since, like, the 70s, something like that. So, you know, even Calipari commented on it. He was like, I don't really pay attention to, you know, records versus coaches or anything like that, just trying to get my team better. But somebody brought to the attention to me how they've had the better of us here, and it's true. So I don't know, Darren, if I would call Tennessee's performance soft. They didn't hit shots, and they don't have the depth and answers to offset such a skilled team and a more experienced Kentucky team than maybe their reputation has of being one-and-done school in the past. They're better than that. They're a little bit older than that, yet they still have some talented freshmen to go with it. And those three guards and a couple of bigs, Richards, who continues to get better. So that's a really good Kentucky team. Tennessee already thin to begin with. Then no Josiah Jordan James in the game. He's missed the last couple of games with a groin injury, maybe some other things too. So it's just they just don't have the horses. And even with that, they kind of hung around. They just couldn't break through that four-point wall and get any closer. And Kentucky deserves some credit for being able to answer. That's not easy to do on the road, and they did it. and held Tennessee off and made big shots down the stretch where Tennessee had some good looks. They couldn't make them. And that's kind of, I think, representative of the season for this team. They're not a great shot-making team. And when they don't play the right way, which is getting in the lane and driving, when they don't do that and they're just hanging out behind the three-point line and hoping for the best, it's usually doesn't work out for them. And Kentucky attacks the rim, attacks, attacks, attacks. And that just helps create open three-point looks when you do kick it out. So it was they were the better team, and Tennessee just couldn't make enough shots down the stretch because they had open looks.
Yeah, and Kentucky's doing what Kentucky does best, right? They're getting better every game, every month, and so this is what Calipari does with these young teams. And, you know, by the end of the month, you know, heading into March, they'll be firing on all cylinders, and it's already looking like that's happening again. I guess I was just surprised at how Kentucky, I know soft and easy or strong words, but to lead wire to wire and in control the entire game, I didn't expect them to do that in Knoxville. I expected them to win. I picked Kentucky on Friday's show to win the game. I just didn't think it was going to look that easy.
Well, I think there was a struggle there during, I mean, Kentucky was never really able to pull away from Tennessee. I mean, it kind of teetered between 4 and 11 the whole time. I mean, there were still some critical possessions. Bowden, when they were down 4, had an open 3 at the top of the key and wasn't able to hit. So it was still, I think, even though Kentucky led throughout, I still think it was it came down to some clutch play. And look, Kentucky got into foul trouble, which is what Tennessee wanted to do to them. And yet Tennessee was still able to hang around with Kentucky some. But to me it shows that Kentucky is a little bit older, more mature, and tougher than maybe they've been. And you're right, they're always a threat in March. But I have actually more belief in this group than past groups that maybe talent-wise, top to bottom, were more talented.
Really? And, why is that?
Because I love their three guards. They can finish in traffic. They attack the lane. They play the right way inside and out. Richards has gotten better as a post, so they can play inside and out. And in the tournament, it's a guard game in the tournament, and I trust their guards. So they have that better mix of youth and experience. And yes, they don't go very deep, but I mean, a guy like Johnny Juzang, who has came out of nowhere, basically. I mean, he was in their rotation a little bit, but he came out of nowhere to hit some big shots for them. And as long as they have a little bit of contribution from their bench in the tournament, you don't have to go as deep into your bench. But with those days off in the tournament, so I like their starting five a lot, and I think they will continue to get better and be a threat.
Legit contenders, like legit.
I would final four absolutely. Okay. Because who's great?
That's why I'm bringing it up, because there really isn't a powerhouse team. There's not any halves, really. I think there's no great teams. I think there's some really good teams, but they're few and far between. I mean, this year is truly wide open, in my opinion.
Totally agree.
Okay, that's interesting perspective, since you saw them up close and personal on Saturday. By the way, how big is coming back against Alabama this week? I mean, that would have been 5 losses in a row. That was a huge comeback to win by a bucket down in Tuscaloosa earlier in the week, or we would be talking about a Vols team that had dropped 5 in a row.
Yeah, and they were down 15 in that game in the first half as well. And I mean, you'd look like I wrote that game off the way they had been playing going in, to your point, and then to be down 15 and then find a way back in the second half. It was impressive, and in that game they played the right way. They got all of Alabama's bigs, they fouled them all out, And so Alabama had a small lineup at the end, but Tennessee kept getting in the paint. And then for whatever reason, Jordan Bowden has been better in second halves than in first half for a while through all of SEC play. I did a pregame interview with him on the Vol Network, and I said, why is second half Jordan Bowden better than first half Jordan Bowden? He started laughing before I ever finished. He was like, man, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out, but it's better to finish, he said. And you know, that was the case Saturday also, but they don't have enough weapons. And I said this to you guys last week. When a lot of the things that this team is missing and could use, Lamonte Turner, a healthy Lamonte Turner, would bring them. On the ball defense, it may start there. Leadership, three-point shooting, ability to drive, not afraid of the clutch shots, getting him a big bucket when the offense is stagnant. I mean, all those things. But on the ball defense is as big a thing as anything that this team is missing. Offense, obviously, as well. But Turner could have helped them with a lot of those things. Then they don't have Josiah Jordan James, another guy who is probably their next best defender other than Jordan Bowden. He's not playing. And then Santiago Vescovi, who's been amazing with some of his three-pointers and finishing in traffic, things like his crazy passes. He's been so impressive. Rick Barnes just gushing over his story of coming to this country and immediately jumping in and playing point guard in the SEC. However, he's a little bit slow of foot defensively. He doesn't really know. He's not connected with everybody just yet and what they're doing. So they're just short in a number of different areas that Turner could bring them, and they definitely need James back soon. He's day-to-day, according to Barnes.
We'll come back on the other side. There's been a lot of staff changes on Jeremy Pruitt's crew. And in fact, they got word that one's leaving to go to the NFL today in the Titans division. We'll tell you all about that. Plus, Philip Former, the AD, said they're going to take a bite out of crime. Well, no, he didn't say crime. He said something else. We'll talk to you about that as well. Philip Former getting a little attention with his comments that he made this past week, which was interesting. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side, the sports animal in Knoxville. We will do that next. Right now, I want to talk to all the men out there. Been telling you for years now about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff, they want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that like I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you want to achieve that healthy lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and dial the number and make an appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Welcome back in. Darren, Donk, and Chase, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming, thegamenashville.com, the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarlane here with you. Willie Donk, of course, in Vancouver. We're talking to Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. And Vince, one thing we didn't get into last week, I mean, there have been a ton of football staff changes for Jeremy Pruitt. As we figured, it happens every year that the coaches will change up some things on their staff. But Jay Graham is one of those changes. What do you make of all these?
Well, I'll start with Jay Graham and then get to the rest because, Chase, I think there have been like four moves since the commercial break started. I mean, it's ridiculous how many. I actually had to make a list, starting with the first move, David Johnson, that left. I've counted 11, either coming or going, from the staff. It's crazy. But Jay Graham, I think, is the most significant. He is as good of a hire for Jeremy Pruitt as he has had on his staff since and equal to Jim Chaney. I think that's how good of an addition Jay Graham is. He's one of the best at coaching the position. He is an elite recruiter, and he's got ties into areas in recruiting, North Carolina and parts of the Southeast, Georgia. But North Carolina is the key spot where he has recruited. It's his home state, and he can really make some inroads in those areas. So, you know, big time recruiter, well respected. Oh, by the way, he played at the University of Tennessee and starred. That's not the reason why he went after him. Like, fans oftentimes want to say, hey, go get this guy because he played at Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt is going after the best guys. And look, if they played at Tennessee, that's only a bonus. And he'll use that to sell him after the fact. But Jay Graham checks all the boxes, take him away from Texas A&M. And Jimbo Fisher, you know, they're paying their staff, and he hired him. He's worked with him at Florida State, did Jeremy Pruitt, so he knows what he's all about. I just think it's an unbelievable hire. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to get it done, but you know, to get him, I think it's huge, and it speaks, I think, to an emphasis on recruiting with all of these other moves.
So, and look, as I said to start this, we knew that some staff changes were probably going to take place. I think as a head coach, as you grow into that role, you want to tweak things as you go. You want to try and keep the message consistent, but also keep it fresh. So when you evaluate Jeremy Pruitt and some of his hires that he's made going into this season, how would you evaluate him?
Well, Chase, it's a lot of movement coming off of what ended up being a great close to the season with the six straight moves, right? You feel like you're going in the right direction, then that's a lot of movement coming and going. The natural thing is you want that continuity and keep going forward. But this is the second year in a row they had a ton of moves. They had a ton of moves last year going into the season, and in the end, it ended up working out for them, even though it took a while. So maybe the same thing will happen here. But I think even though, and we'll get to the signing day in a sec, but even though Tennessee finished strong in recruiting, I think there's still another area that Pruitt expects to get to. And what a lot of these changes tell me is that they want to enhance recruiting even more. And then also it looks like by some of the guys that they have brought in that they're looking to get a little bit younger on the staff also. And look, there's a lot of schools, even the ones that have success and ones that don't, that they're having a lot of transition on their coaching staff. So it's a little bit of a sign of the times, but I think those are the two things, is take recruiting to another level and get younger. And maybe those two things are connected. Some of those other moves, obviously David Johnson went to Florida State, Kevin Shearer to the New York Giants. Joe Osavet was an off-the-field analyst. He now is coaching tight ends. Brian Niedermeyer moves from coaching tight ends to inside linebackers. Chris Rump is going to the Houston Texans. Tracy Rocker to South Carolina. Their player personnel director, Drew Hughes, is also going to South Carolina. Chip Long reportedly coming in for former Notre Dame OC as an offensive analyst off the field. Then just in the last couple of minutes, Jimmy Brumbaugh, defensive line coach of Colorado, reportedly coming in to coach the D-line, and then Shelton Felton coming in to coach outside linebackers, more than likely. That's what he coached at Akron. He would be a natural slot into Chris Rump's spot. That's all of the moves. That's a lot.
You're not going to quiz us, all right, afterwards? Because yeah. I don't think I would do well.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't. But, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But what's also impressive, real quick, guys, is that Pruitt was ready to go. Guy left, all right, going to the Texans, got my guy within the hour. You know, it seems that way, that he was ready to go and prepared. And, you know, that's a good sign.
Before I get into some comments by a prominent figure at UT, that's a tease.
Oh, do tell.
I will ask about National Signing Day, because you brought that up, and how the Vols fare to me. I know they moved into the top 10, so that you – however you want to view that, I guess that's a good thing.
It is, because when you looked at them in Gainesville, they were 1-4, and I was there looking at the players and Pruitt in the postgame after that debacle, and you weren't even thinking – you were thinking, man, this could really end bad for everybody here. You know, would it get to the extreme of coaching change, and would the recruiting class fall apart even if Pruitt is there for another year? I mean, it was just rock bottom at that point. And to close out the season like they did, and then clearly, based on what recruits are saying, have said, that their turnaround impacted things, that they were going in the right direction, and to end up getting guys and closing late. Now, the early signing period, they had five targets. They got all of them that weren't previously committed. They had three targets going into National Signing Day. They hit two of the three. The other one, Zach Evans, a five-star running back, he's waiting to take more visits before he decides. And who knows, maybe you land him, even though I think that's a little bit of a long shot. But so you're getting all the guys you want, and you're closing strong. I think that speaks to the direction that they're going and how. And they've been able to do that with all this fluidity in the coaching staff also. So I think it went very well. Yeah, as high as 7 in Rivals, 10 and 24/7. ESPN had them at 18. But overall, I think it's very impressive. Wide receiver numbers might be a little low, but they have a couple of guys that are flexible. They also added the two guys on National Signing Day, Malachi Wideman, who was a Florida State commit, and Dee Beckwith, who's from the Tennessee Valley there in North Alabama. Both of those guys are terrific basketball players, too. So that could be something that they work out as two-sport players, which would be pretty unique. But both of those guys can really play. So I think overall, other than maybe a little thin at wide receiver and rush end, I think those are the two positions that they need to hit and not miss on guys. Other than that, I think they hit on a lot of their needs, and they're very happy with it.
I'm going to read this quote verbatim. Quote, "The Vols are back, and before long we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we plays, you know what?
Arse.
Arse. Backside." That is Philip Fulmer, the athletic director. So what do you think? Are they back?
Well, no, they're not back. I mean, obviously you have to define back, but back to me is on a national level where you're competing for championships. They're not there yet. They're back in the right direction. Look, I really don't have a problem with it. I think you gotta remember that you got cameras around at these recruiting celebrations, and that's what it was. And you know, you play to your boosters and your fan base different than you would in regular interviews with the media, and that's what he was doing. Tried to clarify it a little bit afterwards. Honestly, to me, it doesn't change a whole lot. The expectations are going to be there anyway. So it is also the complete opposite from what we saw during the Butch Jones era, where Butch Jones would try to downplay expectations, and that way he would outperform that potentially, and then you'd credit the coaching. Well, here, whether it's Pruitt or Fulmer, they're in lockstep in saying, hey, we have bigger goals here, and we feel good about what we're doing, so we're going to talk about it, and fans are going to be excited. They're going to buy season tickets, and I think that's part of this, is buying season tickets. And look, the expectations are going to be there whether you downplay or get them fired up. So I really don't have a problem with it. I just think it's something that everybody else in the SEC and can easily bring up if you don't get to where that's what we think it means and back competing for championships, because they're not there yet.
But why biting? You can't bite. You can't bite your opponent's arse. Why not kick it? I mean, kick their arse. Why do you have to bite it? That's just a weird saying, I think. Don't you think?
Well, you know, the kick, yeah, a little bit.
How about we're back the and kick- we're going to kick everybody's tail rather than we're going to bite out of everybody's tail that we play? I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I thought it was a weird thing to say. That's just me.
I got to give you credit, Darren. I did not break it down to that extent.
Well, I was really. Yeah, well,
you've known
I was
him
really,
for a long time.
Just doing a little play by play, just trying to break down what Philip Fulmer was saying. And I don't know. I would have gone on maybe a different. I would have called a different play. That's just me as the OC of this discussion. I don't know.
Well, the kicking thing is something that Jeremy Pruitt, he made a kicking reference where, you know, people were kicking us, were enjoying kicking us while we're down, and now we're going to do the kicking. He said something to that effect during one of the signing day things. And John Pennington, who is the host and creator of a Sunday morning TV show here in Knoxville that I'm a guest on from time to time, he brought up an old quote of Dooley where he was saying a very similar thing. Oh, yeah, people have been enjoying kicking us while we're down. I was like, made the kicking reference also, but Dooley did that. So you don't necessarily want to, you know, repeat the words of Derek Dooley, even though that wasn't his intention. But
well, Jeremy Pruitt literally kicked, didn't he, on the sidelines? Didn't he kick a board?
Yeah, I think he did.
His first year. Yeah. He backed off. He backed off in the kick in year two. No biting that was seen.
No biting.
I guess there was the helmet grab. so maybe we'll get. Yeah, we're gonna pull the helmets of all our opponents and next year. So I don't know. I guess I was too busy with the 73 coaching changes on UT staff to break it down like that.
You're right. That was, like I said, I'm just glad you're not doing a pop quiz. We would probably fail. That was a lot to digest in a short amount of time. So maybe
the next blog will be just listing the coaching staff.
Well, I was going to say, aren't they all going to have to get together and stand up and introduce themselves, who they are, you know, where they came from, and kind of a meet and greet meeting? Isn't that coming?
Yeah, I would think so. Now, they didn't do it during National Signing Day. You know, in the past, Pruitt has brought had his entire staff out. He didn't do that this time. He had the coordinators out there on those National Signing Day celebrations. So it was a little bit different. And actually, there was a reference. Jeremy Pruitt basically said, hey, there's a lot of guys that were coming after our staff. And, you know, they decided to stay. And then, like, a bunch of them have gone since then. But, like I said, at least they had a plan. And hopefully we'll get to talk to them like we did last year, not during the season, but at least in the spring we did.
Good stuff as always, Vince. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
All right, guys. You do the same. Appreciate you having me.
Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML, there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter is how you can give him a follow. It's free, and it takes like 1.2 seconds to do. Just hit follow. It's really easy. He's a good follow. Yes, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money.